flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, he's all over TV. You hear him everywhere. You hear him doing spots. You hear him here on our show, and we're happy to have him. Nick, how are you?
Hey, Nick.
Guys, great to be on with you here.
Have you spent your money yet for on Ohio State?
Well, we're going on vacation the week after the Super Bowl in February, and my wife really wanted to book an extra day on vacation. So I'd like to thank Ryan Day and Will Howard and Judkins and Jeremiah Smith and the Buckeyes for helping to finance the extra day on our vacation, for taking care of that. I sincerely appreciate it.
So what is a
true story, by the way.
Was it straight win? Was it over under? How'd you do it?
No, I had I think with you guys, I didn't bet Ohio State. I didn't need to, because I had Ohio State to win the title. I had them in an exact Ohio State over Notre Dame, placed a number of weeks ago. But if I had to bet the game, I would have bet Ohio State, and it would have come down to that field goal at the end and probably would have been very nerve-wracking. But thankfully, I didn't have to go through with that, and the Buckeyes, I just needed them to win. But they did cover the spread as well, which was nice for anyone that laid that on Monday night.
Yeah, that was highly noticed by the folks that I was sitting watching the game with. So my question for you, though, is, like, how do you feel about Ryan Day right now? Because last week, you said you'd rather have Marcus Freeman as a coach than you would Ryan Day. Just your thoughts on Ryan Day.
Yeah, I'll hold to that I think Freeman's probably a better coach than Day. But, you know, it's complicated, right? I would stop short of putting Ryan Day in the, like, Nick Saban. And it's not fair because these were all, like, multiple championship winners. But I don't know if he's, like, as good a coach as, like, the Saban, Spurrier, like Bobby Bowden tier of like coaches over the last like 30 plus years. I don't know if he's there, but I also think now that he's won a championship, he's also not in the like Gene Chizik, Ed Orgeron, like Les Miles, where you look at coaches and say, how did these guys... Now, Larry Coker won a title with Miami, but with Butch Davis's team, I don't know if he counts. And I would put Day kind of like somewhere in the middle of those two, which means he's a really, really, really good coach. And I think the thing that you can't take away from Ryan Day is that he now joins the pantheon, right, with Woody Hayes and Jim Tressel and Urban Meyer, championship winners at Ohio State. Now, Buckeyes fans may hear that and say, you don't put him and like Woody Hayes in the same breath. I understand. Just that he's won a national championship. And the critics that will point and say, well, he had a Lamborghini. Well, he didn't crash it. Like, they made it to the end.
Right.
And they won. So I think he gets a ton of credit.
Yeah, he helped build it.
Well, he put a governor on it for one game, one big game.
I think he gets a massive amount of credit. Do I think he's like Nick Saban level good? No. But is he, like, I don't think anyone could ever take this away from him. So I definitely feel differently about Ryan Day now than I did before the playoffs started, in a positive way. I hope that was a fair answer.
I wanted to hear, because last week you were pretty vehement about Marcus compared to Ryan.
Marcus Freeman, to be fair, was a deer in the headlights on Monday night. So I go it. I guess I probably have to take the L on that one. Because, we all watched the game, right? Did you guys see at halftime, I think it was Molly McGrath, I could be wrong, but the halftime interview that Marcus Freeman had.
Yeah, I watched it, yeah.
And he gets asked by the sideline reporter, coach, how do you get Ohio State off the field on third down?
Yeah.
And he's like staring into space and he's sweating profusely. And he goes, you know, we really got to get Ohio State off the field on third down. Like, he literally repeated it back to her, what she said. Would you be like if your wife asked you, like, did you take out the garbage? You look at her and say, you know, did I take out the garbage? Like, that's not going to go well. Marcus Freeman on Monday night.
You do know that's media training 101 at Ohio State, too, because they all, like, as a player, like, if you need to buy time to answer the question, just either repeat the question or ask the interviewer to ask the question again. So that's it's interesting that you brought that up, because the people I was watching the game with said exactly the same thing. They're like,
he was deer in the headlights.
Marcus doesn't know what he's going to do in the second
half.
He's a
mess. Was big time deer in the headlights. Yeah. So I, you know what? I'll take the L on that. I will.
Ohio State wins the title with a lot of guys who aren't going to be back next year. So you're looking ahead. You loved the playoff. You thought it was all swell. There were a couple of teams along the way who might have some guys coming back. Who would you... right here in the middle of January, who would you put a little money on to win the national championship next year?
Well, looking ahead.
Can I give you I'm going to answer a question you'd ask,
but I think
it's good. Thank you very much. who would I bet to win the national championship?
Yeah.
On August 30th, Ohio State plays Texas. Right. That's one of the first games of the season. Ohio State's going to host Texas.
Right.
In Columbus. So just like whether or not you agree with the conclusion I'm going to draw here, I think that what I'm going to say leading up to it is inarguable, right? So think about it. Will Howard's not going to be back, right? Sawyer's not going to be back.
I think I know where you're going. Go.
So as we approach this game, Quinn Ewers is going to the NFL. A guy that people may have heard of, Arch Manning, you know, like Peyton and Eli's nephew, Archie's grandson, Cooper's son, is going to be Texas's starting quarterback. He's one of the co-favorites right now with LSU quarterback Garrett Nussmeier. My sense is that Arch will open the year as the Heisman favorite. Texas is going to be the recipient of all the hype heading into that game because Ohio State has more to figure out, right? We don't know who Ohio State's quarterback is going to be.
Right.
And people have an idea, but like, let's see what happens. And Texas is going to be really popular, and Ohio State's going to beat them. And I can't wait to bet the Buckeyes in the first game of the season.
How did the gaming community feel about the new playoffs?
I'll give a really selfish answer.
Sure.
Like, I don't care what anyone else thought. I loved it. I thought it was great. I understand that the ratings were down. I loved it. I watched. I'm always of the opinion, guys, and I will be consistent throughout, you know, as long as we do this spot. I am always in favor of more games. I love sports. I love to watch games. I love to bet on the games. And like before I bet, I just love the stuff. So I loved it. My only complaint is that it's not more teams in the playoff. That's my answer, though.
16, and, brother. Yeah, let's get to 16.
Great. Let's do 24. let's do 68. Like, I think it's as many as possible. I love this stuff. But look, reasonable. Some people can like chocolate ice cream or vanilla or pistachio. It's really just personal preference. Like, reasonable minds can disagree. I really liked it.
Can I ask you one little question going back to your Ohio State, Texas, and Arch Manning? You sure he's playing for Texas that day and not Ohio State?
I'll tell you what. It'd be one of the great... This would be like Hulk Hogan dropping the leg on Macho Man at Bash of the Beach 96. Heel turn. To be one of the great heel turns of all time on Texas if that happened. Sincerely doubtful, but I mean, I guess crazier things have happened, right?
Yeah, I've just seen that out there a little bit, and I've thought, really?
Yeah.
That would be interesting.
I mean, why wouldn't he have just gone to Ohio State then? I guess would be
I would agree with you on that. And he could have played this last year instead of Will Howard, right?
And he's like, think about how much money he's probably making. I mean,
oh, you my.
Know, I don't yeah. Can Ohio State like outbid Texas for Arch Manning? Probably. I mean, I'm sure they could, but I mean, it's probably so negligible that it's whatever.
Yeah, it's got to be close. All right, let's get to the NFL. Which game is more intriguing to you? Eagles, Commanders, Chiefs, Bills?
Oh, Chiefs, Bills. Yeah. I love the Chiefs. Everyone out there has got what I like to call CDS, Chiefs Derangement Syndrome. Everyone hates the Chiefs. I get it to a degree, kind of like fatigue. Everyone hated the Brady Belichick Patriots, the Yankees in the early 90s, early 2000s, the Lakers, the Bulls. I guess everyone liked the Bulls, and like I'm a New Yorker, and I hated them. It made me sick. But you guys get where I'm going. The people didn't like LeBron and the Cavs when they were winning all those years, obviously, or making the finals against Golden State, etc. So people hate the Chiefs so much now that I think it kind of clouds their judgment. And people now think that like the Chiefs actually suck. and they just get bailed out by the refs and they get lucky. I look at them and see a team that has maybe the best quarterback ever and one of the best coaches ever. So I don't agree with all of that. And you're going to give me a, basically like a pick the winner of the game, right? Chiefs are a 1.5 point favorite. The game can land one. It's not likely. Pick the winner of the game. The quarterback that always wins or the quarterback that always loses. I'll take the quarterback that always wins and feel awesome about it. So I love the Chiefs on Sunday. Worth noting, I loved Baltimore this past Sunday against Buffalo. So I don't win every bet that I place. I lose a lot. So, you know, I just want to be clear on that. Like, I really like the Chiefs. It doesn't mean the Bills can't win, but I will have a nice bet on the Kansas City Chiefs. Maybe hopefully pay for another day of vacation.
Washington, Philadelphia.
This one's
Jaden Daniels, Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, this one's a little more difficult. So I like Washington for a couple of reasons. First, the point spread, guys. So Philly is like 6 or 6.5 right now at home, favored. This implies that Jalen Hurts is 100% healthy. Like, this is not a Jalen Hurts immobile line. And we saw the end of the game last week against the Rams, right, where he gets the knee injury and then, like, he can't move. Takes a safety. They've run that ridiculous, like quarterback run on that 2nd and 7, and he loses 6 yards. Are we not that he can come out and look like prime Michael Vick. I just think it's unlikely that that's going to be the case. So I think the point spread's probably a little too big when accounting for Jalen Hurts' potential not being 100%. And then I'll give the most base-level analysis possible, which is, and I would encourage everyone listening, you guys can answer the question also. Which team has the better quarterback in the game? I think it's Jaden Daniels. I'm not sure it's close, especially if Hurts isn't healthy. Mm-hmm. Which team has the better head coach? I don't know that it's close. I'll take Dan Quinn. Now, you could say, well, last week, the Rams had Matthew Stafford and Sean McVay, and they lost. And my counter to that would be, and answer this question honestly, if it didn't snow and the Rams didn't put the ball on the ground because of the elements, and it's good, it's cold, but otherwise it's clear, who wins the game? I think the Rams would have won. I think the Commanders are live to win the game. I'll bet on them to cover. I wouldn't be shocked at all if the Commanders made the Super Bowl and first rookie quarterback ever to start in the big game.
Cool. Nick, thank you, sir. Good
stuff. Thanks, man.
You got it. Wishing everybody minimal sweats winning bets the absolute very best of luck.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tommy Rees, new offensive coordinator of the Browns, kind of introducing himself to everybody, and Kevin Stefanski saying, I'm going to call plays. And then Tommy saying, I'm not going to talk about quarterbacks coming out in the draft. Well, he's going to. We're going to turn back the clock a little bit. And
he said this in the past.
Maybe.
You have been fooling me all morning.
Maybe. Hey, more changes are on the way with the Browns, as they'll have a new quarterback, of course, and a new offense next season, as Tommy talked about. And, of course, the Cavaliers making a run at the number one seed in the East. Follow every bit of the news, and don't miss a minute of The Fan. During your workday, you can stream us at 92.3thefan.com or on your phone with the free Odyssey app. So with Tommy not wanting to talk, especially about a guy that he coached in Alabama 2 years ago, we figured this would be the perfect time, day, opportunity to talk about a guy that Tommy didn't want to talk about.
Baskin and Phelps present.
All right, so tell me again how this is not the same old Browns.
Let's find us a quarterback.
Well, if you're looking for a quarterback who can create and extend plays, by golly, that's the guy that Tommy Rees coached at Alabama 2 years ago. Not last year, but the year before. Jalen Milroe. This guy is so intriguing. And it's the kind of draft choice, Andy, who's either going to get you like a 10-year contract extension or get you fired. He's 6'2". He's 220 pounds. He's built like a running back. Mm-hmm. He runs like a running back. He throws like a running back with a good arm. His father was a Marine who served in Iraq. And that kind of makes you think, okay, disciplined background. You listen to the kid. He has a disciplined background. He's from Katy, Texas, which is outside of Houston. And Jalen Milroe wore three different numbers at Alabama. Why do you do that? 215 and 4. I mean, he couldn't wear 4 at the Browns, so he's good for 2 or 15, maybe, right?
Well, he might be able to wear 4 if circumstances.
That's true. As a freshman and a sophomore at Alabama, he sat behind Bryce Young. And, you know, you sat back and you learned, well, Bryce Young was the number one overall pick, so you kind of get that. Then he started as a junior with Tommy Rees as his OC. Was benched after two games. It wasn't a surefire thing. They played the Texas Longhorns. They got smoked. He didn't play real well. Mm-hmm. He threw a couple of interceptions. And they benched him and said, you're not going to play in game 3 against South Florida. And then two other guys played against South Florida. I think they kind of thought we're Alabama. We're going to beat South Florida. We want to see what these other guys can do. And then after the game, Nick Saban named Jalen Milroe the starter for the rest of the season. And apparently he and Nick Saban sat down with each other twice a week the rest of the season and talked. 5 minutes, 20 minutes. Jalen said we talked about life. We talked about all kinds of things. But he kind of became the guy, without question, in Alabama. Some things about what he did. In his junior year with Tommy Rees, he threw 23 touchdowns and only 6 interceptions. Rees left. Saban left. Kalen DeBoer came in. 16 touchdown passes, 11 interceptions. So his passing regressed. Completion percentage just dropped a little bit.
The team regressed, though, a little bit, too.
That's very true as well. Mm-hmm. Running the football, under Tommy Rees, he didn't have to run it as much, didn't run it as much. He had 531 yards rushing and 12 touchdowns. Last year, this guy ran for 726 yards, which isn't outrageous, but 20 touchdowns, which is outrageous. And when you watch him on the tape, he can run, man. Yeah,
he's dynamic.
He's really good.
Against college defenses, he is dynamic.
Really good running the football. And he was fast. He was strong. He was physical. He was shifty. He's built like a running back. He's 6'2", 220. And folks have said, and we'd like to see him get officially measured and see if he's really 6'2". What he looked like to me, Andy, was Jalen Hurts, who's the Eagles quarterback and big, strong guy who can run. He looked like a shorter, better built, not as wiry Lamar Jackson.
That's the first guy I thought of when I saw him.
Lamar is a little longer and more wiry.
I just think he's a little bit stronger. Do you think he looks like a little bit of a stronger version of
Lamar? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. He's put when he's together effective. And can run.
Yeah.
Now, when he throws, good Lord, look out. He's got a really strong arm.
Yes, he does.
And I don't think he has any idea where it's going.
Well, I don't know.
Everything I watched, and I was talking to Dan about this. I watched highlights. I didn't go back and look at like bad throws and everything. I watched compilations of his good plays because I think you can see a lot from those.
A lot of them. Yeah.
And he's throwing off the back foot. The weight shift, you know how you're supposed to throw and follow through. That was terrible. The one thing that I thought was it jumped off the tape to me, he didn't hit wide receivers in stride much at all. And these were the highlights. They were throws where he threw it in the general direction. The wide receiver made a good play and was not in position to get a whole lot of yards after the catch.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that was scary. It was a little rough. And I thought that might be something that if you're an NFL team, that needs to be polished up. Because you got to hit your receivers in stride. And if you throw those balls in the NFL, they're going to get picked off. Yeah, they're going to get knocked down.
The other question I have is he going to be able to run like that in the NFL? And I
would think yes, Andy. He can run, man.
I don't know, man.
He can run.
Defensive ends are a little bit faster in the NFL than they are in college.
They're not as fast as he is. He was good. I mean, he can run. And he looks like he could step into the NFL and run the run-pass option pretty well. And he looked like a running back to me. And he actually, in a press conference, kind of called out Bill O'Brien, who had been a previous offensive coordinator in Alabama.
Right.
And he said he wanted me to change positions.
I could see it. I can understand why he would want that.
Yeah. And he was asked, well, what do you want to change to? And he said, well, you know, they've told me a lot of things. They told me I couldn't play quarterback at this level. Okay, so you had that. Well, what did you hear about Lamar Jackson when he came out?
Same thing.
Everybody wanted him to be a wide receiver.
Yeah.
I would be sure that people want this guy to be a running back. And he wanted to be a quarterback, and he did. And let's hear one thing that Tommy Rees said about him. We're going to go back to the pre-Rose Bowl press conference in 2023 when Tommy Rees was the offensive coordinator and Milroe, after being benched for week three, came back and was the starter the rest of the year and was pretty darn good. This was Tommy Rees pre-Rose Bowl in 2023 on how far Milroe has come.
Jalen's put in a lot of effort and work to improve his game. I think his overall control of the offense and what we're asking him to do, I mean, each week we're trying to stack things up on top of each other and add to what we do and enhance what we do. And probably week 8 or 9, I kind of pulled him aside during practice and I said, hey, pretty cool where we're at now, where we were 8 weeks ago. Look at all the things now that we're asking you to do, all these different things that now you're in control of. And for a young quarterback that hadn't played a lot of football coming into the season, that's part of the progression. And all the credit goes to Jalen.
That was Tommy Rees on Jalen Milroe, his Alabama quarterback. More comments coming up. In some of the analysis that I read about this guy, mm-hmm. Andy, a guy at Pro Football Network said, and this was, I think, harsh, but kind of in line. He said, Milroe ultimately has a first-round skill set and fifth-round tape. And I thought, ooh, I don't think he has fifth-round tape. But I don't know that he had first-round tape.
Well, I can understand what you're saying, the fifth-round tape, on the highlights alone. Just it's the ability to the yards after the catch. I mean
he's throwing the ball where guys are going up and having to make a play on the ball, you know, rather than where they can just take off.
Where they're at, not rather where they're going to be. That's probably the best way to kind of describe the way, yep, where he throws balls.
The same guy at Pro Football Network said his real value is probably somewhere in the middle, where a team could use a day 2 selection on him. He said this would bet on his tremendous ceiling without investing anything that would expect him to start right away. The boom or bust factor with Jalen Milroe is real, but NFL teams will always take a shot on a player with this type of raw talent.
33? I don't think he he's not going to make it to 33.
I don't think he is either. Most draft profiles said something like incredible upside, needs to be developed. You take a shot on him in the first round. So you'd be taking a shot on him. A website called Fantasy Life Mock had Milroe going number 9 to the Saints. Mel Kiper, ESPN, doesn't have Milroe going in the first round. The 33rd team, who we've had guys from the 33rd team on the show, 26th overall to the Rams.
Coincidentally, we're the 33rd pick.
I have seen him going number 2 to the Browns. In a couple of mock drafts.
I've seen that.
Which I think is really interesting. We already talked about Cam Ward, rookie who's coming out. Compared to Cam Ward, I think Milroe is bigger and a better runner. They both have strong arms. Ward seems to have a little more magic in the passing game than Milroe does. But Milroe looks like an absolute beast. What more does Tommy Rees have to say about the guy he coached in Alabama? We will hear those comments coming up, and one that might just make you think, well, the Browns are going to go get this guy. That's coming up in about 9 minutes right here on The Fan.
Let's find us a quarterback.
Talked about Jalen Milroe last segment. He's the Alabama quarterback who Tommy Rees had last season. Not the one that just finished, but the one before that, before Tommy came to the Browns. He was the OC when Jalen Milroe became the starting quarterback of the Crimson Tide of Alabama. And we just went over a bunch of stuff last segment, things that we thought, looking at tape of him, some things other people said. Before we hear more of Tommy Rees talking about him, let me give you this. And again, this is from a website called Fantasy Life Mock. It was their mock draft, I should say. And it says, Milroe's immense upside. You can think of Milroe as the Anthony Richardson of this class. And Anthony Richardson, of course, is the quarterback of the Colts, who is, right. and they said, big-armed, freakish athlete. Milroe is a more polished passer, but comes in a slightly smaller package. Milroe is the...
Was all muscle.
Yeah, well, he's put together. Mm-hmm. Says Milroe was the closest approximation we had to Jaden Daniels' savage blend of athleticism and deep ball dimes in college football this season. Says Milroe's game could have used another year in school, but he declared because quarterback prospects with his physical ability rarely get out of the top 10. That said, Mel Kiper doesn't even have him going in the first round of his mock draft.
What's that worth?
And so it's all, Andy, it's all over the place on this guy, which means a couple of things. You have to assess him. You need to know him, and you need to believe in him. Does a young offensive coordinator getting his first chance in the NFL have any sway in that? Who knows? We're going to go back again.
I don't know. Is that the question, or is it the head coach whose job's probably on the line if they don't win next year? Is that the question? Is he willing to go down that road?
Well, if I'm the Browns, I don't do this. I don't draft Jalen Milroe because he played for Tommy Rees. I don't do that. And I don't trust Tommy Rees on this evaluation. You know why? Because if Jalen Milroe sticks, let's just say the Browns take him at 2. My guess is he's going to be the Browns quarterback a lot longer than Tommy Rees is going to be the Browns offensive coordinator. So they're not a package.
That's a good point.
They're not a package deal.
No, I understand that.
But you do get some insight. In 2023, Alabama went to the Rose Bowl. Tommy Rees spoke about Jalen Milroe, which he didn't want to do today. This is about the relationship that he had with his quarterback.
That relationship with him, you don't get that experience very often. And to say I'm proud of him would be a vast understatement. And but again, he deserves the credit to where he's been. And he's a great competitor. He's mentally tough as anybody you would find. It's a lot of credit to, you know, his parents and what they've been able to raise him and be the young man that he is. And he's been been really fortunate to coach him and help, you know, him along this path. And again, he deserves the credit. He's done a tremendous job working towards his goal.
And again, he was the backup to Bryce Young for 2 years and then got benched. When Tommy Rees was the offensive coordinator, got benched for the Week 3 game and then came back and was the starter the rest of the way. That's all well and good. Here's more Rees talking about credit going to Milroe for bouncing back after that benching.
All the credit goes to Jalen. The adversity he went through, the humility he handled it with, the ability to persevere and put his head down and work, to want to be better, to want to get better, to want the challenge of being the guy in front of the group, to want the challenge of... We're going to continue to add to this thing and try to enhance your strengths. Again, all the credit goes to see him take control of the offense, to see him, you know, as a passer develop, to see him be decisive in his ability to run the football. Like, all those steps were, you know, his effort, his time on task, his work put in. And again, like I talked about being proud of the entire group.
Now, one thing to remember here, he didn't want to talk about Milroe hardly at all today. He did just a little bit. He said, I've got a lot of love for him as a person and as a play caller and a quarterback. We had a great relationship. You know, you have to have one with your quarterback. And that's all I really wanted to say about Jalen Milroe. Now let's flip it. When he's talking about him before the Rose Bowl, he's the offensive coordinator and you're going to just, you know, blow smoke like crazy.
Sure.
Because it's your guy. So keep that in mind. But he made this comment, and this is the final thing we're going to play from the Rose Bowl press conference in 2023. Okay. that I think might be a little telling.
I have a unique perspective of playing the position and going through some hardships that I'm able to relate to, but Jalen, his mental toughness is greater than mine ever was. And, you know, we can have light moments where he's amped up. I can try to settle him down by, you know, cracking a joke, and I can be dry and all that and make him laugh. But our relationship has grown tremendously over the last 11 months, and he's a joy to coach, man. And his ability to block everything out, be centered and focused on what he's trying to accomplish, wanting to be better, the humility that it takes to accept those challenges. He's really a special kid. He really is. Yeah.
Joy to coach, humility. Special kid, he really is.
Mental toughness.
Yeah.
I think you need that, you know, when you play here.
So that's a different perspective on Milroe than what we had from the press conference today.
Sure. I mean, he's not going to say anything.
And the truth's probably somewhere in between, right?
Probably. I would say it's closer to the press conference than it is what he said today. I mean, he didn't say anything today.
Closer to what he said back when he was coaching him. I would agree with that.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to put your own reputation on the line by saying glowing things about somebody.
Now, you're also working in a room that's deciding who they're going to bring in. And mm-hmm. They're going to pay the guy, at least, you know.
The other aspect of this, one of the kids who was a quarterback at Alabama was a guy who was at Notre Dame with Tommy Rees and transferred down when he went down. And yet they went with Milroe as the quarterback, which makes me think, okay, just because he worked with a guy before doesn't mean that guy gets carte blanche and that's the guy. But I do think I do think that there's a perspective there and information there that can help the Browns in the decision-making process when it comes to, is Jalen Milroe the guy you want? And the fact that I have seen some mocks, you've seen some mocks that do have him going at number two, but others that don't even have him going in the first round. And that's a scary proposition. Now, the first time Mel Kiper actually drafts a player will be the first time.
This is true.
So keep that in mind. But that guy's made his living.
And he has the Browns taking Travis Hunter.
Yeah, which is hard to argue with, isn't it?
I don't think you can go wrong. If the only argument is between the offensive and defensive coordinator on mm-hmm. who gets him.
This one seems like it would be a gamble if the Browns were to take him at two. Let me throw a thought at you. You take Travis Hunter at two. And by the way, great mock draft I saw had Sanders going one to the Titans, had the Giants trading up with the Browns and taking Cam Ward at two, and the Browns dropping to three.
Yep.
And picking up, I think it was an extra second round pick, and taking Travis Hunter, which if the Browns don't like one of the quarterbacks and the Giants do, by all means, sure, we'll drop down a spot and take Travis Hunter and then do what we're going to do. But if you do that, maybe something like that gives you the extra ammo where late in the first round, you can trade back up and draft a guy like Milroe if you think, hey, he needs a year and we have Tommy Rees here to develop him, who has already developed him before, and he can really help him. And then we sign fill in the blank to come and play quarterback next year and maybe, you know, a year after that. So there are options here. But the most difficult option to me seems like, yep, we're going to take this guy at two. And you're going to have
to be... That does seem...
Yeah, you're going to have to be sold.
You're right. If you think you can flip with the Giants, right? So pick up their three and then get the Giants two. Now you've got 33. I don't know what are the Giants having to. I'm assuming they're like 30, unless they traded it. I don't know. But you would take the Giants. Why wouldn't you try to take the Browns second, the Giants second, and try to get back up in the first round?
Well, you might be able to.
Yeah. And by the way, you have way more ammo than that because
you've got still a lot of picks.
Yeah, they have 12 picks in this.
But to trade back up into the first round often costs you a first round pick. You know.
Yeah, if you're sitting, I mean, you could.
And how high do you go? Because if this guy, you know, like the 33rd team had him going 26th to the Rams, okay, if that's the case, we've seen him going 9 to the Saints. All right, you're not going to be able to trade up to 9 without giving up a future first. You might be able to trade up to 26 without giving up a future first. You know, if you could give the 33rd pick in this draft and the Giants pick, so two high second round picks in this draft, something like that. Well, that might get you into the bottom of the first round, but is he still going to be sitting there? If that's the guy you're interested in.
It's a good question. I'm very much in trance with maybe trying to trade the two and move down just one or two spots and then trying to get back into the first round.
Our Browns beat reporter is Daryl Ryder. He was there at the Tommy Reese press conference this morning. Daryl coming up next, and we're going to ask him, Jalen Milroe, past history with the OC, mean anything? Next on Baskin and Phelps.